A lot of people you can't share anything with. They are self-made, they're self-willed, and they have their own program in mind, and they are self-programmed, and it's not very much that you can share with them. But then on the other hand, there are people that you can share things with. And it's like I was talking to some people today. I have tried to preach the word of the Lord here and tell you what you need to do, what I understand, because I've been called to be your shepherd, and I try to tell you the truth. Paul said, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that it is the truth, striving always to have a conscience void of offense toward man and God. And that's very important. Your conscience is very, very important. The Bible speaks of cutting across your conscience and making faith shipwreck, and then, of course, you're in a terrible, terrible predicament. So you must keep your conscience right. But someone was telling me about a book. One of our leaders, one of our chief leaders, outstanding leaders, one of our governors, got a hold of a book and read this book, and this book is supposed to have changed their lives. I don't know what it changed their lives to, in that they've been with the gospel for a long time, and I thought that this had changed them into the gospel. So if it changed their lives, it must have changed it into something else that we don't know about or we don't preach. But anyway, it changed their life, and that's what I was told. And then this went to the man's wife, and it changed her life. And then it went from her to another lady, and it changed her life. And then it went to another lady that the man said, I don't want the book here changing my wife's life. I'm satisfied with what we got. All right, so it run into a bad situation. But anyway, you know, I don't care. You read books, that's your business. And of course, you read Brother Branham's books, that's your business. But I think this is supposed to be on the positive thinking. I think it's the book on the positive thinking. I think Norman Peel, or whatever his name was, wrote one time. And now I think this lady has picked up something. I think this involves a woman, and she's picked up something from Norman Peel or somebody, and picked up something from either our ministry or somebody else's ministry and put it all together. And she's got her book. And someone said something to me about feeding the thoughts. You know, I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. Which that's what we teach. That's what we have been preaching. And I think this lady involves something in there like that. Whereas I didn't get that from a book. I have never, in traveling all around the world with women and men and ministers, never heard anybody even talk about it, let alone preach it. So we've been preaching that for years, you know, and I don't know where she got it. God could have given it to her, or she could have got it from somebody's minister or our minister, whatever. But anyway, this is what I wanted to say about it. It come across my mind. First of all, I told you, there is no such thing as positive thinking within the human family. There is no such thing. That would automatically make us know that something must be wrong about that book. And I ain't seen the book. But there is no such thing. So if they deal with positive thinking, that's wrong to start with. I told you that, and of course, you don't seem to believe it, and when you talk about things like that, transforming your mind or changing your whole world, you got to remember one thing, that Satan quoted the scripture. Bringing the scripture doesn't mean anything. Singing a sacred song and having bebop going so you can dance by, I've seen them do that, don't mean a thing. And the Bible said they've changed the word of God into a lie. Well, that is when Satan quoted it to Jesus, he tried to destroy Jesus with it. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, can you express, this is the way people feel sometimes, can you express a few things here as to prove your point as to this thing about positive thinking? All right, first of all, I want to repeat, there is no such thing as positive thinking among the human family. There never has been, there isn't, and there won't ever be. Oh, somebody said, well, I can positive think because I programmed my mind, Brother Pike, and this thing has showed me this positive thinking. And And sure enough, a man, he positive thinks till he drops into the great ditch. He runs across the thing that takes all of his positiveness away, and soon he is a slave to tribute and the things of the world. He's so positive till he gets to that place where he's so unpositive because Satan weaves a web around him, you know, and off he goes. But anyway, here's the first danger of this thing called positive thinking. The first thing it does, it deals with your human mind and your own understanding. And that's your first danger. The Bible said not to lean to your own understanding. That's the first thing you do. Your own understanding is your thinking. And that's the first thing you do. You start dealing with your understanding. And the second danger of it is as you become, as you think, to be positive, then you become vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind because this is what you're doing. See, you are the positive thinker. So that invites the flesh, and of course that's what Satan wants. That's what he's trying to do. He is trying to offset faith. You don't need positive thinking. Jesus never did preach positive thinking. He preached faith in God. Your positive thinking is your believing in yourself or in the devil, which savors the things that be of self or of the flesh. So you're building up personality. It's a fleshly thing. And when you get through, you'll feel so educated with yourself, you'll feel like you're exuberant, that you know you're vainly puffed up by your flesh and mind, and you can do the job, and this thing is just great, and you are a new person. Well, anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mind of God, there is one positive thinking, and that is the mind of Christ. That mind was positive before the world ever was. It was positive the whole time. It was in the human body. It's been positive ever since I've been acquainted with it. It's been positive in me. It's been positive in everybody I've ever met as to the measure that I let live there. And it's the only positive mind. There has never been a record of in the history of the world where any man or woman ever lived but what Satan broke their mind down. There was no positiveness to it. And these people who, with their philosophy of today and their vain deceit as to do these things, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, and they're in bad circumstances. So you say, then what is it, Brother Pike? It is of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so then, to be carnally minded is death. And when you start those kind of things, you invite trouble, and when you pass those things around, you cause division, and you bring a problem, and then you get the Lord on your case. See, and usually, and I don't mean this wrong to anybody, I love every one of you, but usually people that mess with this are people who have in the past been vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, and have seemingly escaped it, and Satan laid a trap for them. Or it is a person that doesn't have a vision for God, and they're searching for something and looking for something, because if you have an empty glass, then you can put something in it, whether it's whiskey or beer or water or wine, whatever. See, and they are not getting in with the things of God and the flow of God, and they're not understanding the things of God. And because of this, it is causing a great difficulty of their life. And when these things come along, they're empty, and the devil just pours these things in. Puts a little scripture with something, and there he goes. See, the Bible says, there is none good. All have been unpositive in that they have sinned. And everyone has turned to his own unpositive way. And God has laid upon Jesus Christ, the only positive one, the sin and iniquity of us all. Having been bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible said to lean not to your own understanding, but to get rid of every thought, because even as a child, the spirit of foolishness is bound in your heart. And the Bible said that man was so wicked that even God Almighty looked down from heaven and repented over the fact that he couldn't find anybody being positive. He said, I will destroy man whom I have made, from off of the face of the earth, and so he did it. And as he started to destroy, and he found a man by the name of Noah, and the generation started all over again. And when he started the generation, he found out that Noah wasn't a positive thinker. He was drunk before he realized it. And then, of course, when things came as to Sodom and Gomorrah, he found a man, Abraham's nephew. And he found this man by the name of Lot. So again, things started over, because the Bible says this righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day by their unlawful deeds. And then, of course, when they come out of Egypt and the Lord was destroying everything down in Egypt and was doing away with the people, he brought his people out only to find out he couldn't find but one man, and that was Moses. And from that, when he took them into Canaan, he couldn't find but one man, and that was Joshua. And when he finally came down to the very ultimatum of the thing as to what we call the grand finale, he couldn't find one man, and that was himself. Let's give the Lord a hand. Found out that Moses wouldn't do, and Joshua wouldn't do, and Abraham wouldn't do, and Noah wouldn't do. And he said concerning the human body he made for himself, as he called it the sonship, and this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And when they said, well, Moses and Elijah, he said, nay, just Jesus. All right, so then today, unless you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot please God, and you must have the mind of Christ in you, which is the only positive, unwavering mind, as to whatever measure you'll let it live in you. And you must leave this other stuff alone as to your positive thinking, because you're positively, according to the Word of God, going to fall into the trap of the devil. You already are falling into it, and he's going to prepare a pit for you as to the flattery of your own self, as Satan flatters you with that feeling of being positive and great, the positive thinker. So let's look at it like this. Even if something happens in your life that God gives you a great victory, just like he did me just in the last few days, he gave me a great victory. I was having problems, and the Lord was showing me, he showed me a devil or a demon spirit. He showed me Lucifer standing right behind me. I think I told you about this. He was standing right behind me. Like it was said of Joshua, he said, and Satan was standing in his right hand over here. See, to cause him problems. And here Lucifer was standing right behind me, and I saw his hoary head up like this as I looked like in a mirror or whatever, because I was trying to talk to somebody. But anyway, somehow I saw him. I don't know how it was, but I saw him, and he had his horns, you know, up here, and he was standing right there ready to devour me and ready to deceive me. He was trying to deceive me. But anyway, we went on, and a night or two later, I had a vision. I was praying, talking to the Lord, and I had a vision, and a devil had gotten a hold to me like a cat. And he had popped his fangs into me over here, not his fangs, but his claws, and he had popped them into me over here. And I was trying to get loose from him, and every way that I turned, he turned. And I'd stretch way out, and he'd just stretch way out, and I'd come back in, he'd come back in. So he just kept holding on to me. And I was wrestling with all the strength I had to wrestle with. Well, after a while, I began to call on the name of the Lord the more and fight the more. And all of a sudden, I stretched out as far as I could stretch it, and I just went like that, and all. It broke him off, and when it did, I grabbed him and I run him in a hole and I smashed him. And that was the end of it. So when I talked to the Lord about it, the Lord showed me Satan has tried to aggravate me a number of times over things as of late, in the sense that I would set something up over here to where I could do something for the Lord, and I'd set something up over here, and my overseer would make a mess out of it over here, and somebody would make a mess out over here, and they wouldn't do right, and I kept stretching out over here. I'd set something up for the plane over here and something for the plane over here, and I'd stretch out just as far as I could and have everything just about right, and about that time the devil, he'd hit it. He'd hit one thing right after another. And I couldn't get my people to understand. So I determined in my heart that I was going to go before God and stay before God till God broke the thing. And he broke it. And I told my wife, I said, well, he broke it and everything will be okay now. And sure enough, immediately everything was okay. God just took care of it in the most beautiful kind of way. And it's just like a spring bubbling. Everything's just fine. Whereas even the plane, it's like I told someone last night, I said, the Lord will provide. He's got a way to provide. He always has a way to provide. Even though God's way of providing is through human beings, the Bible said, so shall men give in your bosom good measure, pressed down, heaped together, and running over. And the brethren had done what they could as to their part. And everything was going along okay. And we had, about $110,000. Whereas automatically, if I pick up $100,000, that means $10,000 tithe with me. I don't know how you operate. That's your business. It's not my business. It's my business to tell you what I understand. As the Bible said, bring all of your tithe and offerings into the storehouse. And try me here with saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to see. And some people, you know, they give out of their abundance. And some people give even of their living, like the little widow. I mean, they'll strain every nerve to do something for God. And of course, that's the kind of people get blessed. The people that give out of their abundance, God blesses them, but he just restores back something to them in this life. They really don't get eternal life. But when people give their living, then they get eternal life. That was the early church. That was the nature of Christ, to give the all. Well, anyway, we was talking, and I told the brethren, I said, I know that you can't handle this. I realize that. And but the Lord has placed something on my heart, and the Bible said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we was just trying something. I was just waiting to see what was going to happen last night. And, of course, we'll get back to that in just a minute. But as to the tithe money, if I have $100,000, and that's $10,000 tithes. We had about $110,000 due to come in. And of course, the first thing that happened, the people, as to the underworld, you know, you got to have this, and you got to have that, and you got to pass by this man and this woman. You got to pay the underworld. So the underworld cost us about $20,000 of it. They just reached over, took about $20,000. And they said, well, you can go on till next time. And this is for your protection, you know. Like they used to do, they'd come around over in Chicago, wherever, and they'd say, we'd like to say some protection. This is where it all got started. And if the people, as to the merchants, didn't buy the protection, they had bad, bad calamities and problems, like their buildings blowing up and their buildings burning down. And the next time the people come by to sell protection, it seemed like they needed the insurance. So the men with the badges and the guns on their hips, it's the same thing today. But anyway, the underworld got about $20,000. Someone said, well, I don't believe they're the underworld. The Bible said they're robbers and thieves. They beat you up. They throw you in the ditch. They leave you there and they rob you of everything that you got. And the Bible said the devil is a thief and a robber, and that they're the children of the devil, and he comes from the underworld. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, dealing with the underworld. We know who we're dealing with now. So, at any rate, as I said, that means $10,000 tithe. And out of a child of God, that's just normal. He believes the word. He believes God will open the windows of heaven. He believes God will supply all of his needs. So, he's going to bring his tithes and offering. So, with the tithe, that was about $10,000, and with the underworld getting their part of it, they wouldn't settle for 10%, they got 20%, so or a little under, and that was about $30,000 of the $110,000 gone. And then there was somebody that was working with us that $20,000 was involved, that they had worked it around to where it could be of a benefit. And right at that time, they let the devil get a hold of them and just take full advantage and just turn their back on us. And that took another $20,000. So then that was $50,000 that was gone out of the $110,000. Oh, let me see, $20,000, $40,000, $50,000. That was $50,000 that was gone. So when we prayed and believed God, God worked in other ways. He brought in other monies, but also had bills to pay, things that we had to take care of. And, of course, David Paul, in the school to be able to fly your plane, it's about $8,000 to $10,000 there that had to be paid up front. So at any rate, I kept believing God and believing God till, even with all of these things and what all we had to do, that I finally pulled a thing up by faith to $60,000, which still left me $40,000 in the arrears. As a matter of fact, I think I had $61,000. Well, then there was some more expense that come about, but I told the brethren, I said, well, brethren, I'm going to believe the Lord, and the Lord is going to take care of it. And I said, we got about 3 weeks now. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, before the night's over, make a move toward it. And I said, I got about 3 weeks. And I am willing that even though we have 3 weeks and I have to have $40,000 with nowhere to get it, I said, I am willing to believe God and let my name be at stake and my word be at stake, and whatever I say that he will meet it, he will meet it. And that gives you a chance, of course, to say, well, if he don't, I'll put my finger on your nose, false prophet. But I said, he will meet it, and I'll just put my word out there. As I always put my word out there, I trust him all the way. So I went on home, and when I got home, the devil says, now, I said, what are you going to do? You got to have $40,000, and you got 3 weeks to meet it. There ain't no way. I said, there sure ain't no way in the world. He said, just 3 weeks. I said, no, ain't no way in the world. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to meet it. Oh, he said, you can't do that. I said, oh, yeah. I said, if it wasn't but 3 hours, I'd still meet it by faith in God. I said, God will still take care of it. So the devil, he didn't like that, and he left. So, believe it or not, within 20 minutes from the time that I got home, the Lord started to work in. And before I went to my prayer to talk to the Lord about it, he had already laid about $30,000 to the line just like that. And then I told my wife, I said, I see the other. I see the other. And I looked and saw it just exactly. And where it was to come from, what it was to be. And I just went on to prayer and sang songs of victory. At sundown, as the writer said, he met my $40,000 to the T. And that was lacking is to make up for it. When the morning came, he met it right to the T as to present it. As a matter of fact, that part's already in the bank. So the Lord is the victor. The Bible said, I thank God who always, always gives us the victory. Through your efforts, through the prayers, and through the things of God that you have made the effort to do or are going to make the effort to do, God has graciously met the $100,000. And now Brother David Paul will have to go over. He'll have to take some time out from his training somehow or another to get over to Terry's over in Missouri somewhere and transact, because they was going to do it through a negotiation of the bank as to an escrow thing. And I said, I'd rather you'd go look the man right in the eye and transact, because I want the bill of sales and I want whatever. You know, the plane just jumped up another $85,000 in value, which means you've got somewhere close to a $300,000 value now, which is more than $250,000, about a third of a million, or getting close to it. And that, of course, is an asset because it'll be paid for. And it'll be an asset as to do something for God. Now, some of you shied away when you could have believed with me and prayed, but you didn't do it. Neither did you help. But the brethren as a whole and the sisters as a whole did. And even last night I had some to shy away just in a discussion. But nevertheless, that's all right. The Bible says concerning the parable that Jesus gave, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you, that the sower went forth to sow the seed, and some fell by the wayside. And he said, these that fell by the wayside are those that didn't get the word. They didn't get the seed. They didn't get the seed. That it was sown, but the fowls picked it up and took it away. He said, now these are the people, when he interpreted the parable, he said, these are the people that hear the gospel and they don't understand it. And I preach to people all the time, television, radio, tent minister, whatever, publications or the paper, and they don't understand it. They don't understand spiritual things. The Bible says that if this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Satan, having blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good comes. Satan, the prince of this world, has put them in a condition of darkness into their intellectual philosophy and things of the world. So this is, these are they, the Bible says, that hear the word, but they can't understand it. And then he said, there are some more. And he spoke of some that when they hear the word, he said, anon with joy, they receive this word. That when the preacher preaches, that they receive this word. He said, now, this I'm speaking of as the seed that fell on the stony ground, on the rocks. He said, and these are they, he said, that hear the word. They're all joyful about the word. They make a fuss over the word until the word cuts across their grain, until the word begins to reprove them, until the word begins to correct them, until the word begins to tell them who they are and where they live and what they've got to do. He said, and by they are offended. They are eventually offended. And that's the people, you know, you run across. They are eventually offended because it cuts across their ego as to who they are and what they are and their programs in life and whether or not they want to be with the upper echelon and have businesses and have make money and have pride and prestige and be a celebrity or whatever it is, or be self-willed or do their own thing and not submit to leadership or whatever. It cuts across their grain. Or asking them to do something when they don't want to help or do anything, you know, but just lounge around. And if they do something, they want to do it their way. So that's those kind of folks. We got a lot of those kind of folks, some of them at Bethlehem, that always getting upset, always temperamental, always something that they don't like. If you just rub them wrong, as we say. And then there was another part of the parable. And this part of the parable, Jesus said, it fell in a place to where it was all wrapped up by the nettles and the thorns. These were sown as to the seed among the thorns. And he said, and the nettles grew up and the vines grew up and it choked the seed and it didn't bring forth any fruit to perfection. Well, that is, he said, this is the kind of people that they'll take the word, they'll get rooted and they'll get grounded to the extent that they grow up. But they can't get away from businesses. And they can't get away from the passions and the fashions and the human ego and desire of the world. He said, and these are they that the cares of life as a vine wraps around. You know, they don't want to help Brother Pike, and they don't want to help the church, and they don't want to help you, and they've padded the pocketbook, and they've got their overhead expense, and they got whatever, and they're not interested in church anyway. It's just routine with them, and they go to church because they don't want to go to hell, and it's just a custom with them to do that. So they are wrapped up in their mind of visiting their relatives and taking trips and eating and drinking and buying and selling, having a business and looking after their business, and that's it. And they are smothered to death by buying and selling and riding and talking and laughing and being busy with their carnal mind, their natural mind. These are they that are wrapped up by their own personalities, their own face, their own physique, their programs, their plans. They've got to have a career. Whatever it might be, they're wrapped up in this kind of thing. The church world's in bad shape today, folks. But they're wrapped up with that. Jesus said, and the cares of life smothers out those things that they can do for God. So that's the kind of people. We got some of them at Bethlehem. I just have to go along and deal with them. And then we got some people at Bethlehem. And of course, there's people all over the world as to this parabolic speech that fits each part of it. We have some that are altogether Christians. They might be babes in the Lord. They might not understand. They might stumble. They might not know the things that you know, and they might not have gone as far as you've gone, but they are children of God, and they are good seed. Jesus said it fell in good ground, and it brought forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. That is, let us go on to perfection, or let us go on to the full measure of the stature, or let us go on to a full reward, or let us grow in the grace and knowledge. It just depends on what you're doing, you know, the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So it is still children of God, whether they reap much or reap little, they're still children of God. Depends on how much a man wants to apply himself. So this is where we're at in this parabolic speech that Jesus gave. And that's what the problem is. But in spite of all of this, God gives us the victory, and this is the victory, even our faith in his righteousness, even our faith in what he has said, that we say what we will, believe it and don't doubt it in our heart, and it'll come to pass, and we will have whatsoever we say. So the Lord still works his great, wonderful, miraculous things. But each one of you that are looking at me, and each one of you that hear me, you fit one of these four parts. You know, you belong to one of those four parts. And I don't have to tell you what part it is. You know what you do. You know very well which part you belong to. See, you know. All right, so then that's your way of life. I'm going to say this, and I have to say this. Somebody says, but when you say this, you reproach me. They said, Jesus, you said this and you reproach us as doctors of the law. And the Bible said, if anything we offend all, blessed seeds are not offended in me. We're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Now, if I tried not to say anything, you'd have to say, well, I'm not going to say anything that offend this brother or this brother or this brother or this sister or this sister. I'd quit preaching. I'd quit preaching because the world is guilty before God. So I have to say it. And I say it not to hurt you, and I don't say it to come against you. I say it because it is the truth, and I say it to try to help you. So you take it any way that you want to. I'm not here to offend you, because the Bible says it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and that you drown in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones that trust in me. And I've got some little ones. I try not to offend them. But Jesus spoke many things that was offensive. And they said, know ye not that the Pharisees was offended at what you said? He said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. They all fall into the ditch. So it's like a letter that my wife got from somebody. I don't know how much of it to even relate. But it was one of the most foolish things that I have ever heard. One thing in the letter, it stated as to the individual that God hath told me that I have ceased from my works. Now, folks, I preach that we've ceased from our own works. I preach that. But let me tell you something. Everything that is spiritual or natural, the devil will grab a hold of it as much as he can. And he'll make the biggest mess out of a spiritual expression that Jesus gave, like Satan did when he tried to misquote. See, and he always, you can always tell him, because he always uses it for the flesh. Always. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the Bible says, the devil will come to you and take that word and talk to you, and he will automatically use it for the flesh. He will automatically do that. So this is, of course, exactly what took place. The individual said that God has said that they have ceased from their own work. And what they mean is that they are supposed to lazy around and not work anymore, expecting somebody to take care of them. Because you have to do one or two things, and that is either con or get somebody to take care of them. Now, my Bible tells me line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, you might say it told you that you would have ceased from your work, but my Bible has a follow-up Like when the devil quoted something to Jesus, he said, it is also written. So I'd like to tell you, it's also written that the Bible said, he that will not work shall not eat. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then you can fit that with the other part. What God was saying when he said, cease from your own works, is that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his works. And this is your righteousness in God. It hath nothing to do with your natural works of leaving off with your works and just plain being ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, and trying to substantiate that with the scriptures. And another thing, God didn't tell you that. That was the devil that told you that. And if that wasn't the devil, then I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. See, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, would you boldly say that? Let me boldly say it again. That was the devil talking to you. And the devil told you that. And the Bible said, substantiate that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We got a lot of witnesses here that seem to believe what I'm saying. And another thing is, in the letter, it stated that this person was the rejected stone. And of course, all you people had turned against him, which is a lie of the devil. And that they have stood for Bethlehem, which is a lie of the devil. I don't know anybody hardly that's reproached it anymore. And they stated that they were the rejected stone, that they had become the head of the corner. Now you're talking about the devil vainly puffing up people. I'm talking about somebody that fasts, somebody that prays, somebody that thinks that they are on the top of the world doing all these things when the devil is eating them like a worm. I had hopes for this person because I'd been praying and praying and praying. They'd been so wild in their doings, and finally they just fell slap to the bottom and got up and realized that they really was foolish and tried to start and was doing real good, and all of a sudden they got this crazy notion again of being lifted up, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, thinking themselves to be something that they're not, and fell into the snare of the devil again in that same old mind, and has gone into this crazy thing again. Folks, let me tell you, let me not just say to that person, but let me tell you to all people that's listening to me, and you that are looking at me, there ain't but one head of the corner, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are the head of the corner only in your measure, and God might symbolically use you. And you're not the rejected stone only in your measure. He was the rejected stone that's become the head of the corner. And what you had to say about the army of Joel and it not coming together because you was the headstone and you had to come, that is... Folks don't like to hear me say junk, but I don't know of nothing else to call it. That's just plain junk. You've been to the junkyard, and if you don't stop that, you're going to become junk. The Lord showed me a vision where a third part of the campground become junk, and you need to leave that alone. You will become what they call a junkie. You know, where they shoot peanut butter and mayonnaise and everything else into their veins, they call them a junkie. And when you start putting all of that in your veins, and you're going to become a junkie, and God isn't going to live in your veins. Life isn't going to stay there. Because when you become a junkie, after a while, you're going to become a vegetable, as they call it, or you're going to be dead. All right. Is it hard to talk to you? Now, so I want to help you if you'll get away from that foolishness. And if you'll get out and try to halfway do, I'll be glad to try to help you. But folks, you've got a bad day coming and a lot of disappointment because the saints of the Lord are beginning to get disturbed at you. The Bible said if a brother, a sister, or a person, if you perceive that there's no understanding in that person or in a man to go from them, have no fellowship with them. And you're not turning your back on anybody. You're not boycotting anybody. You're not putting anybody out. But when a brother has done wrong, the Bible said you withdraw from him. I have people sitting in here right now that right across the road over here, there's a man that walked contrary. Right over here, not too far from us, there's a man that walked contrary. Right here in the sanctuary, some of those that frequently went to visit with them. Now, you say, why did they do that? Because the Bible says two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And the person or people that visited with them was in the same shape they was in, and really, some of them in worse shape. And it's like some of them keeps running down to Alabama to visit with some folks down there, which is fine. That's your business. You visit with whoever you want to. But the reason that you keep running down there is because you are in the same condition. I check up on my sheep and I watch them. And the ones that go down there are self-willed. They do what they want to. And it's because you are in the identical condition that they're in. That don't set too well, does it, folks? But that's the way it is. In the world, they say, tell it like it is. You know, it's like this Mandela thing in prison, what, 22, 26, I don't know how many years. But anyway, he's been over there, and all of a sudden, he's turned loose. Now, he's just sweeping the world. You know, he boldly come to Atlanta, Georgia, and said what he had to do, and they just went wild over him, and they printed up all kind of things with his picture on it, and they're turning him into merchandise as to make money off of him. And then he went to New York, and they made him a great hero, and him foaming out his shame all the time. I think he's about 70-something years old. And then they say over in San Francisco or California that they've already sold out. They got the big arena and are already sold out. They don't even have any tickets left for the people that wants to see him. Mandela. And down in Florida, it didn't work too well. They boycotted him and began to picket. He made his statement that I am for Castro, which they didn't like. Said, because that's the way I feel. And I am for Gaddafi, because he said, that's the way I feel. And I am for the PLO, because that's the way I feel. And he said that these are the underdogs, and America had mistreated Gaddafi in what they done. And of course, the people didn't like it. Whereas he seemed to be following a thing. You know, we're at the end of the Gentile age, and America has kind of been a typical thing of Canaan or the millennium. And coming to the end of it, all of a sudden it looks like that the old dragon has been loosed out of his prison to go about to deceive, as we say, the whole world. And the man is communist, having a communist leader right there with him. So it's obvious that it is old communist thing as to the China dragon or Russia, the old red dragon. And it looks like the world is going after this gross darkness covering the people, just like I said. I'd made the statement that the black man would rise up and that he had to do with the darkness and the white man had to do with the light, and it would be the gross darkness that would be covering the world. And that at the end time that this would happen. And I tried to explain that you cannot mix darkness with light. There's no way. You cannot make the blacks fellowship the white and the whites fellowship the black. Somebody says, oh, that ain't right. You know, our leaders. I know that's great. That's wonderful. They done what they felt to do. Somebody said, we're all coming together. Nope. There's no honor among thieves. And all of you, black and white, you're a bunch of thieves. Because the devil is a thief and a robber, and whether you're white or whether you're black or whether you're red or whether you're yellow, you're the children of the devil and you're a bunch of thieves. And the way thieves work is if there's five people that went out and robbed a place, then when they bring it home, they've got a lot of money to split between the five. And while they sleep and while they think, they begin to go through the process of elimination, thinking if we could kill off two, we'd buddy together, and we'd kill off two, well, we wouldn't have to divide that. With five, we'd have more. And then if they kill off those two, then they get together and they think about killing off the one, you know, and then we wouldn't have but two to divide it with. And after they do that, then each one kind of individualizes things, and they think about killing off the other one, and then he wouldn't have to divide with nobody, because there's no honor among thieves. So the black man is after one thing, and that's for himself. I can prove that by the Bible. History shows it. He's after one thing, and that is him for himself. He doesn't want to mix with the white. He wants to take over and rule the world. Don't you just love the truth? And the white man isn't wanting to mix with the black. He wants to rule the world. And the yellow man doesn't want to mix with any of you. He wants to rule the world. And the red man could care less for all of you. He'd love to put you all in a sack, as we say, and drop you in the river because you took his home away from him. And he wants to rule the world. And the Bible bears this out because the Bible said, and the four winds was wrestling over the waters. And from every part of the earth, they want to get control of the people. They want to rule. And the Bible said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And the Bible says, kingdom against kingdom, or the black or white or German or Japanese or whatever. And it is a Laodicean age of every person wanting their own rights. The black man not too long ago marched to Washington to get his rights so that the whites couldn't discriminate against him. Whereas he got it. And now the gays have marched for their rights so nobody can't discriminate against them, and they got it. Whereas the gays made the statement, we don't just want that kind of right. We want the churches. We want to do what we want to in the churches, and we want the IRS to favor us. So that is to say, the old serpent is climbing up into the upper lintel to get up there where there's already a bunch of sodomites and to legislate this thing and to bring it to pass to where they can just rule the world. And about that time that they get everything right, God's going to burn the world and he's going to take the church out. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah was burned with fire and brimstone. And the place is still there barren where he burned down everything. So it's like California right now. We've been on the radio there in Santa Barbara and we preached up and down the coast of California. We're supposed to go into Santa Barbara and have to get in there. But anyway, it was a nearby place and they... The fire is raging from arsenic, and I think it's got 500 or 600 homes already. See, things are taking place. It's like I said about the heat. I said it'd be hot this summer. It's done got so hot, it's been 123 degrees out in Arizona, and it's so hot. David Paul told me that he saw where they actually took eggs and sausage and cooked them right on the sidewalk. And as I said a few days ago, in Alaska, Siberia, the temperature has gone up 25 degrees. And as I said, the heat would rise to melt the polar cap, the Arctic, and melt down these ice caps and glaciers that had come to be when the waters went over the earth, when the Bible said every high hill was covered with water in the days of Noah. And the atmospheric pressures and the cold and whatever condensed and froze that thing, just like it condenses a cloud as to a vapor to hold it up there and let it float about. The heat pulls it up and then it goes so high and it hits the cold and then it condenses and it has the layer. There's a middle wall of partitions. We say we're showing war in heaven as the hot and cold clouds or all these things coming together. Oh, we went into that somewhere on the thunders. But this is what I said would happen. Now, yesterday they tell me that they heard that scientists say that in the last 10 years, if I have this correct, that the Arctic, we've been there, we've seen the ice and the snow, that it has become smaller and smaller because of the heat. And they said yesterday, if I have this right, that scientists was baffled at something that has happened because there has been, as we would say, a glacier that was 55 cubic miles. And all of a sudden, it has melted and gone. And they knew that it was there, but it's gone. And said they cannot contribute this to anything other than the fact they call it global heat, of the heat rising. Now, see, all these things is happening like Mandela. Mandela coming from the dark country, it symbolizes opening the bottomless pit. So out of that country will come people that will ravish and tear the world to bits. Because when darkness comes, it brings confusion. You can't see, and light is gone. And when that covers the world, man stumbles when he walks in darkness. Jesus said, work while it's day, for soon the night cometh, when no man can work, and God's got a body of people to represent each one of these things. Red man, the white, the black, the yellow. See us to show the age, the times, and the seasons. Now, in this, it'll be confusion. And Antichrist will take over because he'll come out of that, like through Mandela, as the old communist thing. It's like I told him that thing about Gorbachev and the mark on his head when he stood over here in the midst of the people, said the people, he just loved them, he felt at home, and he noted they wanted the good times. See, communism, and I said that Bush's administration would run right out into the middle of the tribulation period, calendar-wise, and we spoke of that time as to the red dragon falling, as to what it would have to do with when Bush wasn't in office anymore, and that you put our presidents out, but with Gorbachev and those people, they don't go out of office like that. So they continue on. And if Bush don't have the favoritism of the people, and then he goes out, who has it? Gorbachev, of course. It switches over there. So he works with anybody he can. They all get the favoritism of the people, and then when they go out of office, it goes to him. Well, this is what's happening. The old communist dragon is working. Now, this is the way it will come, and through the gaze. See, they'll pick up the gaze, and they'll legislate this thing. There it'll go. Someone will say, well, who are the gays, Brother Pike? All of them. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, bless God, I ain't. Yes, you are. You're either a spiritual gay or a natural gay. And if you're not right with God, you're dirtier than any gay you ever met anyway. The Bible said you're pigs that wallow in the mire and you're dogs that lap your own vomit. All right. So we see who you are. Who are you? Children of the devil. All of you wander after the beast, which is the flesh, just like they're doing after Mandela. Now, somebody says, you said all of them? All of them. The Bible said, and God looked down, and there was none good, no, not one. All of them had turned to their own way, looked to their quarter for their own gain, went astray. So then, the only good ones there is in that God is good. And you're born again and you're then bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So you're not any of those. You don't belong to those and you're not any of those. And if you're black, if you're white, if you're red, if you're yellow, you're not black anymore. You're not white anymore. You're not yellow anymore. See, I'm not a white man. And neither are you. As we would say, a black man. Someone would say, well, you're just blind, you're just crazy, you're eccentric. No, I'm not the one that's in problems. The Bible said that you're not to know me after the flesh. And the flesh is what's black or white. And that we're dead to the flesh. And we're not in the flesh anymore. We're not in the body. And the body of death is gone. And that we're born again and we are in the spirit. And he that is born of spirit is spirit. And that you're not in this world with the bunch of gays and the sodomites and the pigs and the dogs. For God chose you out of the flesh and hid you with Christ in God. And in God there's only one man, that's Christ Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Which means we all came from that, and that's what we are. Everybody came from Adam, as to the fallen one, which was the head of the old serpent. The intellectual, and in Adam all die. But the beginning of the creation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're born of him. And that's the beginning of God's creation. So then you are back to originality as to that one which did not sin. And because of that, you are neither white, nor black, nor red, nor yellow. And the Bible said in Christ there's neither Greek nor Jew. You're not a Jew, you're not a Greek, you're not a German, you're not a Russian. See, you are the body and bone of our Lord and Savior. And you've gone back to the originality, which is light. All of us are children of light. And there's no darkness about a black man. The types is in the world, and those that are in the world belongs to that. And there's no light as to a white man having white skin, because all of that's in the world, and they that are white is just as much in darkness as anybody else. The other thing is to the flesh is only a type. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, out there, they can never come together. They're a bunch of thieves. They'll just make agreements, and even those in the war, the Bible said they'll make agreements at tables, and these will be broken. But in Christ Jesus, then are you one. And whether it's black or red or white or whatever, as to the skin, it's dead, it's gone. And we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We come together because we are one as children of light. And we all come together. It doesn't matter whether red man, white man, black man, yellow man, whatever it is. We are just one. Somebody said, but bless God, my race. Well, I'm not talking to you. You belong to the dogs and the pigs. Let's give the Lord an answer. I'm talking to the sons and daughters of God that belong to the Lord. So you need to go back to the cow pen or wherever you come from. And when you say cow pen, that's too much, because a heifer or a cow, whatever, you know, they can be prized, and you belong to the dogs and pigs. So anyway, let's take that back there, and you go back to the pig pen. So to the wallowing in the mire. All right, so then we see who we are, and we see what we are, and we're not straining at a gnat swallowing a camel. We're not trying to figure out what is what and who is who and where is where. We know who we are, where we are, what we are, and that we've always been in the mind of God, and we are eternal. And though we might pass through the white skin or the black skin or the red skin or the yellow skin, that we might, as sons of God, go among the people and find the elect to get them out. Just like in Africa, when they turn those people loose, they're going to be like a bunch of mad dogs, because those people have been cut off from the good things of the world, half of them and starving to death, and they had to go through that type. And when they're turned loose, they'll come over here or wherever and cover the world. And it'll be a horrible thing with passions and everything else. They don't have any control of anything. Whereas on this side of the ocean, it is represented light, but now they've mixed with darkness, and now their passions are the same. And they're just a bunch of beasts, just to gaze and passions and eating and drinking over here. So they're all going to get together. It's got to come together in a type, as to the spirit, to the body. See, and it's going to be a big Mandela mess, or whatever it might be in the world, as to whoever it heads up in, it will be a big mess. And gross darkness will cover the people, and it will appear that the black man has taken over, which is still strong delusions. Because the black man won't take over and rule, the white man won't take over and rule, and the yellow man won't take over and rule, and the red man won't take over and rule. Antichrist, as Satan personified in a human being, will take over and rule. And everyone that follows 666 will be in his kingdom. And all of you will be enslaved, and it will be death to every race, creed, or color. Now, so then we see again the thing that's taking place as to the hour that we're living in. These things are close at hand, folks. And if this be true, then we realize that the whole world, the Bible said, is in darkness. All of that system out there, all of the world, all of the people are of the devil. And the whole world has to fall. And the whole system has to fall. And all of the people have to fall. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Which means the darkness is not of the skin. The darkness is of the mind. And they're all in intellectual darkness. And the Bible said the whore is a great ditch. And the world is a whore. And they're all going to fall into it. Just like right now, see, there's a war between the Arab and the Jew. Why? Because both of them say that Abraham is my father. Now, is that true? It is true. By the bondsmaid is the son of bondage, as to the bondsmaid, which represents the people of today that's in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, as to the mind of the world. See, and to the Jew that represents the church, that's the free child, which is born of Sarah, which was a type, the Bible said, a type of New Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, the church. So then they had the same father, but they had a different mother. God made a nation of both of them. So they war as to say, this land's ours. See, and the difference in the mother was Hagar, the bondswoman, and Sarah, the free woman. That is the one that was truthfully married to Abraham. And in the world today, it's like that. They out yonder have a different mother. Same father to the extent of creation. As to the act of creation, God created all of them, and they say, our heavenly father, or our father which is in heaven. And they, having the same creator in that all things emanate from God, see, they don't have the same mother. Their mother is the world, and the love of the world is in their heart. We have the Father, as to God our Father. We have another mother, which is the church, heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And ye are the lively stones that make up that city. That is to say, this body has brought forth a child on the inside, as to Christ being formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I travail till Christ be formed in you. God bringing forth a man child. All right, so then we see again why the war is over there, because of the type. We see the war between the black and the white. Why? Because it is a type. We see the war then between the Christian and the world. Why? Because it has to do with the real thing. That's where the real thing is. All of the things are pointing to that. See, so they are children of the devil, and their father is truthfully the devil, not God. It is the devil. Just like Abraham was their father, it's true. But it was the fleshly error that Abraham followed as to show the thing that was going, because the wife said do that. And he paid dearly for his adulterous misdemeanor, just like David did. See, and he paid for that when the child was, that same Sarah that did that said, get out of here, that child won't be heir with my child. God suffered that preparation of man's heart from God, that all that might be. And in the reality of it, it was that adulterous devil that caused the problems. See? And when it goes back to Abraham, it goes back to one thing, and that was the fleshly passions of Abraham. When it goes back to Isaac, that was not a fleshly zeal as to a woman, the weak one that Satan overthrew in the beginning, as to say the flesh and the intellectual reasoning of darkness, but it was the act of God as to a promise that I will visit Sarah at a certain time, and the Bible said, and she will bring forth a son, and it was by promise. So then you and I are not born to the flesh. To be born to the flesh and Adam all die. But we're born to the Spirit. And we are a spiritual child. And we know each other after the Spirit, no matter what race or creed. See, so we are children of God, and we're born to the Spirit, and we are Spirit, and we are they that dwell in heaven. So this helps us to understand that we don't get into all of this mess that's out in the world. And I speak great plainness of speech. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. This makes you to know who the devil is and what the devil is and who you are and what you are and whether you belong to God or belong to the devil. For the Bible said the child is known by his doings. So no matter what you say to me or to someone else, I'm watching your doings. And your doings will reveal your nature. And your nature, that's what you are. And we as children of God are partakers of the divine nature of God, our Father. And so we're about our Father's business and we do those things. But when you compromise and you go to all these things as pantsuits to the women and shorts and all these things, as to these non-virtuous movies and these things on television and in magazines, and when you fuss and fight and bicker and backbite and gossip, and you got to get into all this positive mind and all these kind of things, that means that you have the wrong mind. And that means that it's the devil leading you, and that you're going to be in bad circumstances, and you don't belong to the kingdom of God. Paul took those books back there of all that old witchcraft and whatever, and he had a bum paw, and they burn them. See, and that's what you need to do. Nevertheless, I said these things to you tonight, wanting you to understand that something is taking place, and you need to know. See, you know, and this is what causes you to have the right kind of faith and be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets of John, since that time the kingdom's been preached. We've pressed our way into it. Now we're in the kingdom. I preached you into the kingdom. That's what it was all about, was that we should, and yet not I speaking, but God leading you as God, the great Spirit, the Christ, the Joshua, which has to do with the Spirit, and that Jesus had to do with the Moses side of it and the law. So then that Spirit has led us over the carnal mind of our intellectual zeal and reasoning as to be something in the world, And it has killed out the body, and we've mortified the deeds of the flesh. And now we are a spiritual being that hath led us all the way from Egypt as to that old mind of garlic and onion and that old thing of our own self. And he's led us over into Canaan, and we're dwelling in Canaan, for in heaven we're equal to the angels and we cannot die. So we're dwelling in Canaan. And all you that compromise with all this churchism and all these other things, or races or creeds or families or jobs or whatever it is, it means you're of the devil. You belong to the devil. For the devil saves the things that be of the flesh, and that's of the flesh. And if the love of the flesh and the love of the world's in you, then the love of God's not there. That's why the Lord rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things of thy kingdom, which is the flesh." And he is the prince of this world, and he very boldly stated that it was delivered into his hands to give to whomsoever he will. He told God that when he talked to Jesus. The Lord never denied it, because this world belongs to him. But God created the earth, and the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God, and all things emanated from God. One generation comes, another comes, that one passes away, and another generation fills the earth, because God said the earth abided forever, and I made the earth to be inhabited. So we can be sure that we're going to have an earth, and it'll be renovated, and it'll be brand new, just like it'll be the same you, but you'll be renovated, and you'll be transfigured, and it'll be a new you. But it will be you. All right, we can say a lot of things and go on and go on. It's been real warm here, and I think y'all have done real well to even listen at me. But I wanted to say these things to you. And if you love me, that's fine. Paul said, "I tell you the truth." And then you don't love me anymore, he says. But nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and some of you do love me, because you do love the truth. And you need to think on these things, and you don't need to be in that thing out there of the mire and wander after the beast. You need to let that old body be dead and buried, and you need to follow after the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to follow after the Spirit, and you are spiritual, and that makes you eternal. And you're to know each other after the Spirit, and you're not to get into all that conglomeration of mess that they've got out there, because as I said, there's but one body of the Lord Jesus, this body of which you are members in particular, and his body, he was neither Jew nor Greek, nor Gentile or anything else. In Christ, there's nothing like that. All of that worldly identity is lost. That has to do with the body of the beast. And they're going to come together and fight it out like a bunch of dogs. It's like hogs, or dogs wrestling over a bone, or hogs wrestling over an old corn cob bubbling in the slop. They're going to fight it out. The bigger one gets, the more room he's going to take as he bumps the other one out of the way. So, you're children of God, and you come from God. You go back to God. Jesus said, "I came from heaven. I go back to heaven." You came from heaven. God gave you this in Christ in heaven before the world ever was. And you're just passing through these realms, and you're passing through the land of Esau. You're heading for that wonderful Canaan land. So pay your way, do the right thing, and believe in the Lord and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch and pray, and when you pray, believe. Sin, go right on. Because we're children of light. We come from originality as to the body of Christ. We go back to that originality, which is but one, that's God himself. And the Spirit, which was the Word, which was the flesh. The Spirit made Word, and the Word was made flesh, which means God was made a human body. And you're that human body by measure, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God sees you through the eyes of that as to the works of the Lord Jesus, and he never sees your body again. When you was born again, that meant that you're a new person now. And that's the person of Christ. And the old body as to whatever you was before, white man, black man, red man, yellow man, German, Russian, whatever, all that's now gone, it's dead, it's buried, it's gone by the body of Jesus Christ. God smote the whole thing and put it out of his mind, where you'll never go through that again. Never again. All right, we're going to dismiss and let you go back to your eating and drinking and whatever. Back to wherever you live, whether it's the pig pens or whatever. But you that are in heaven and abide in heaven, that abide in these wonderful mansions of God, which is the bodily members of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the whatever member, whatever measure, you know, well, a little one as a babe or whatever, we bless you in the name of the Lord. We have the power to bless or curse. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And I cannot bless them that are without, because Jesus said, "Father, I'm not lost to one of these that you've given me." He blessed them, and he said, "I prayed for them that they be blessed, and that not one of them be lost." I'll raise them up in the last day. Not one of them shall be lost. Only the son of perdition, which was the devil from the beginning, them that are out in the world are under the curse. And they've not escaped the curse to come to the blessings because they've not accepted Jesus. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. They didn't accept him, so they're still under the curse. All right, so we're not under the curse. We're free from the curse. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. A mind that don't go around thinking that you're so positive unless you're in Christ Jesus. Don't have the old negative mind. Those positive thinkers are some of the most negative thinkers that I know of because they're some of the most ignorant. And all their positiveness is as businessmen out in the world with what they call intestinal fortitude to try to hold themselves together when the bad days come as to say, well, I got to keep on and maybe I'll get out of the slump and maybe my wife won't run off with the other man and maybe I won't run off with the other woman and maybe things won't blow up and maybe I won't have a wreck and maybe and maybe and maybe and sure enough, every bit of it happens to them. Let's give the Lord. All right, let's stand together. Let's put our faith in God. Let's trust in the Lord. We are they that have no confidence and positive thinking as to the flesh. We're not going down to Egypt for our help and we don't know each other after the flesh. So our confidence is in God. And we believe in the Lord with all of our heart. Let's sing a little chorus together, can't we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. Think about it now. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, God rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Evermore, search yourself now, always singing. That is the parabolic speech that Jesus gave in his proverbial approach. See which part of it you fit. See if you're good ground. If you fit one part of it or another. Let's sing this together. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. The altars are open. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Feel you need him every hour. I need. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn.
away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his precious voice, and don't turn him away.
Ain't you glad that you're not in all that muck and mess down there in the world with them white pigs and black pigs and yellow pigs and red pigs? You ever seen a black pig? There's black pigs. You ever seen a red pig? There's red pigs. You ever seen a white pig? There's white pigs. How do you know that down there in that world, there's all kinds of things? You ever seen a yellow pig? No, I haven't seen a yellow pig. They turn yellow. You know, ain't you glad that you're not down there trying to prove who you are? Somebody says, white man, bless God, I'm a white man. Somebody says, oh, bless God, I'm a black man, bless God. I'm an Indian, I'm a Japanese, I'm a German, you know, I'm Chinese. Really and truly, you can't prove none of it because you're so mixed up with the black and the white and the red and the yellow and all. Oh, you don't know what you are anymore, you know. Somebody said, I got my family tree. That's great, that's great. Great. That means the con's got him somebody else to get money out of. I said, oh, bless God, I know it's my family tree, dude. Did you go back there to check it out? The man that got the money was the one that checked it out. He might have checked it out over the dime store. It used to be the dime store, over the dollar store. He might have been going through the dollar store when he checked all of that out and wrote it down. Well, bless God, you just don't believe in nothing. I sure don't, except Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. All the rest of it's lying, vanities, and strong delusion. And God said, because you didn't love him and didn't love the word of truth, that he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind and let you believe a lie and be damned or be one of them out there. There ain't nothing truthful in that mind out there. Nothing. Everything out there is rotten, from the military to the medical world and on right on and on. The educational world, all of it's rotten. But you're the precious children of God. And you don't need to be fussing and fighting about races and all that kind of thing. You're wonderful. You are the children of light. All of you are one. So much so, well, Brother Pike, then which color are we? If all of us is just one color, I didn't say anything about color. In heaven, there don't have anything like that as to one color. I said, you're light. You are spirit. That body of death is gone. You are as the angels. Now, someone says, well, I don't know what color. Well, tell me what color Michael is. Michael, the great angel. What color is he? And somebody tell me, what color is Gabriel? See, it's just as ignorant to think about that as it is some of the other things they say about angels. We're spirits. We're gods. We belong to the Lord. All of this thing that you look at is lying vanities. It's dead in the sight of God. It's gone and it's soon to pass away. And at his coming, you'll see who you are and what you are. For the Bible said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed to be like him. And you won't be big and fat, and you won't be skinny, and you won't be long and lanky and tall, and you won't be short and dwarfed. You know, you won't be one color or another. You'll be the perfect one, like him. Perfect in knowledge, perfect in stature, perfect in appearance, perfect in everything. For he is the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You love the Lord? Can we give him a hand? Okay, let's sing another little chorus together. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call
for I know I am a child, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. And I claim Jesus first in that love for me. Sing it. Oh, we claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when we call. For we are the children that He set free. We are God's own children by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. Can you sing it again? We claim Jesus. See, you claim Jesus. We don't belong to the world. Why is God telling us this at this time? He's never done that before. Why is He making it known to us? So that we can be those that dwell in heaven. Because He's getting ready to burn the rest of them. And He don't want you to burn. He don't want you messing with all that out there. See, He wants to have your mind right, have your faith right. To have faith right, you have your understanding right, to know what you're believing in. See, and He's preaching you right onto heaven. He's taking you right onto heaven by faith from glory to glory. See, so that all of a sudden, like that, see, and the whole world will be burned. So be sure who you are. Take on this positive mind of Christ. And then you'll be a positive thinker. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. In this positive thinking, you will find as to the world and their way of positive thinking, they're the most negative people in the world. And I say this to you again. When they speak of positive thinking, they're speaking of your intellectual mind. The very thinking that God said you're not to take part in, that you're to completely leave that and lean not to your own understanding and bring every thought of that kind of thinking into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's interwoven with the devil. But folks, when you're born again, that's gone. Infiltration's gone. And Christ's mind is interwoven with your spirit. And that's the true positive mind. It's not in your head and as a result of your human senses, but it is the mind of Christ. And as you think in your heart, the mind is in your heart, your brain is in your head. And all those thoughts you're getting is from your feelings to the human senses as you make contact with the natural world, as to sight, as to hearing, or whatever. But this that I'm speaking of is in the heart. You're born with it. It's the Holy Spirit coming into your heart till Christ be formed with you, even as formed in you, as even as it was in Mary. So then, you're God's holy one. You're the virtuous one. Now, so let's do that kind of thinking, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. Can you sing that again with me? If you belong to the Lord now, and you don't belong to that mess down there, let's sing it together. I claim Jesus first of all, for He will answer when I call. For I know that I'm the child God set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that. One more time together. So we claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. For we know we're the child, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Let's lift our hands together and praise the Lord. I've kept you quite a while tonight. Listened real good, and of course these things go on tape, and I try to get them on tape so that when people hear them, they can understand that they won't be offensive to them, because these things aren't offensive to the children of God. They just love them. They cherish them. But to them that are in the carnal mind, the carnal mind's enmity with God is to say the spiritual voice and mind of God, and enmity to the things of God. And naturally, they're going to war, and they're going to try to protect their old intellectual, natural birth as to their inheritance. You know. But to you that love the Lord and you that dwell in heaven, to my precious brothers and sisters in Christ, may God bless you. May God supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. May we all happily dwell together throughout eternity with riches and splendor and love and strength and power and magnificence to love one another with all of our heart, to love God with all of our heart, and to remember that you don't discriminate against your hand, you don't discriminate against your head, and you don't discriminate against any part of your body. And we are the body of the Lord in particular. All of us are needed, folks. And we are among all kind of tribes because we are to have some elect out of every race of people. There are wonderful people over in Africa who are darling brothers and sisters, and they are there, and we must get them. Then we leave all of the others to their destiny in America. Among the white, among the reds, among the yellers, the Chinese, the Japanese, there's darling people. What a person that was, I believe, a Japanese or whatever, come up and preach for us not too long ago. I believe he was a Japanese that come out of Brazil or whatever, very wonderful person. You contributed to him and bought him a van, which he was so grateful for, and he sent word to us how much it meant to him. See, and that is the way it's supposed to be. See, we're looking for our brothers and sisters in the family of God, and when we get out of here, the rest of them can go because they're all tares. God didn't sow them. They're the children of the devil, and God's going to burn all them tares with fire. He'll bundle them up and burn them. But you're never going to be burned, folks. You're going to be eternal and alive forever to warm the heart of God. God will live in you and dwell in you from now on. That's why we don't try to lay up treasures in the world and look for diplomacies and prestigious things and places, and sometimes you find yourself in those things. God gives them to you, and He will give them to you. He'll give you the desires of your heart, and He uses you there like Esther and Daniel and the others. But, you know, be circumspectively and walk as children of light, that the world may see your light wherever you're at. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, for ye are the unveiled light of His glory, the light of the world. Call us sing together. I will praise you. I will praise Him. You may not love me when I tell you these things. Paul said, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, but I still love you. I love you anyway. He's the Lamb for sinners. He's the Lamb that was slain for sinners. And we'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood is washed away. Can you sing one more time with me? Lift your hands together. And I, for this, Brother Pete, to come and dismiss us, if Pete will.
Praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners.